This episode of Grown Men Coloring is brought to you by Josh Kyle. Sole sponsor of the podcast, Josh Kyle. He's a good guy. He's got a website, joshkylehealth.org, I believe. That's Kyle, K-E-I-L. He's Hitler Youth German, so they pronounce the last vowel before the first vowel, so they go Kyle.
It's so, like Heil Hitler.
But it's like Heil Hitler. It's Kyle. Kyle. Josh Kyle Hitler is his name. So, he may be coming back to Saskatoon, and we may be starting a podcast together called The Two Buds. So, keep an eye out for that.
There's a thaw in there now?
Oh.
I thought it was Two Buds.
Two Buds? Two Buds podcast or The Two Buds?
Yeah.
Should it be The Two Buds?
What do you think? It sounds better without.
Two Buds?
Yeah.
Should be called Two Buds Podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So keep an eye out for Two Buds Podcast coming up. If he does in fact move to Saskatoon. Oh, he struck him out. That's Logan Hoffman, I believe. He's pretty jacked up right now. And he went to his bench for Knuckles before his catcher. His catcher wanted to. That's pretty big time to get out of a jam. I mean, he's got a right to be. Everyone should be pumped up right now. So good for him. Oh, and okay, so yes, Josh Kyle, great guy, look him up, great sponsor. I don't know about great sponsor, but he's a sponsor. He is our only sponsor, so I guess that makes him a great sponsor. And without further ado, another episode of Grown Men Coloring. Cheers, buddy.
Yeah. 1985.
Maybe we should hit with the bottoms. That's a better cheersy sound, hey? Right on. How's it going, buddy?
Good to
have you out. It's been a while since we've got into the old podcast studio together and
We recorded that super long one and I'm kind of embarrassed about
it. I maybe took advantage of you while you were a little liquored up, hey? Is that wrong of me as a friend? You were brain raped, yes. Yeah, you were brain raped.
To minimize rape. I don't know how I feel about it. So I just, because it just about happened again here, I was listening to, I think it's Ari Shaffir.
Ari Shaffir. That's funny, that's what his friends call him sometimes when they're fucking with him.
Oh.
Ari Shaffir.
Okay.
Jewish.
Yeah, Jew. I was watching his stuff lately and I had a very close moment to that today and I had to go check. I bought a bunch of Fiber One bars at lunch.
You almost shit your pants?
Yeah, well, I like fucking laid down a bubble and I was like, oh fuck, did I just shit my pants at work? I didn't, but it was scary enough that I had to look.
For those who haven't watched the great Ari Shaffir's Double Negative stand-up specials on Netflix, check them out. He has a bit where he goes, what is he, does he fart standing up?
No, he...
Or he goes to the shitter, or, oh, he thinks that he's finished shitting, and he comes back to his airplane seat, sits down, yeah. And he's like, oh, I just pancaked myself.
Yeah.
Like, I sat in my own shit.
He was good, and then there was another Jewish stand-up guy that's got a Netflix special that I thought was really good as well. I'm going to give him a real Jewish name like Ari. It very well could be.
Is it Maz Jobrani?
Yep. No.
No?
It's not Maz Jobrani.
I know, shout out to my friend Graham Duff. He told me that you should check out Maz Jobrani's special. Because I guess it's really good.
I'm getting a little tired of just kind of the, like, immigrant story in stand-up. Like, I know that sounds super racist, but, like...
You'd like to hear more stories from...
There's, like...
40-plus white men.
Well, it's not that they're immigrants. It's just they're all kind of doing the... Oh, the guy from Brampton. I'm terrible with names.
Oh, Russell Peters.
They're all, like, they've just recreated, there's a lot of guys, like, that Maz, I found his to be largely a recreation of, like, this is what it's like growing up as a...
As a foreigner.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah, I could see that. For sure. Yeah. I mean, I was making fun of you about your... Oh, there's a little nice base hit up the middle. We're watching the Canada Games final between Team Saskatchewan and Team Manitoba. Hopefully this won't be similar to every other time that I've watched sports on the podcast and I've wanted a team to win. I think it's pretty rare that they've ended up winning. I think we watched a Canada-US semifinal at... Or maybe it was a final. I think it was a semifinal at the World Hockey Championships and Canada won that. But the Nationals and Team Canada World Juniors have both lost while I've been podcasting. So hopefully don't have a great record when podcasting, watching sports where I care who wins. You were saying
him, Master and there Brian. Was another one that I turned on that was kind of like the same deal, and I was like, just don't want to do it.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I was making fun of you about, you know, being a white supremacist and wanting more stories about white, but I do, yeah, there is, yeah, I could see that. Like, you've heard that story. It's like when you're hearing a comedian tell airplane jokes all the time,
like, it's just kind of, like, easy. It depends on how much you do of it, because clearly that's who you are and that's where you come from, but that's fine. But there's a lot of good comedians that are immigrants or of different races and stuff that tell fantastic jokes. They're just not about, like, this is what it's like growing up immigrant.
I mean, you should have maybe a quota of immigrant jokes for each special.
And look
at me telling professional comedians how to do their job. But, yeah, like, there's definitely, like, Russell Peters has got some, well, all immigrant comedians, I'm sure, or all good immigrant comedians, I'm sure, have great jokes, and not all of them talk in immigrant voices or have anything to do with being an immigrant. Oh, has that got a shot? No, that's just a deep fly ball. Connor Sparks from Saskatoon.
What is this guy's name?
Yeah, not everyone has to have... I mean, there's lots of good jokes that don't involve immigration or being an immigrant.
Yeah, so that's my complaint about immigrants being comedians.
Yeah, your only complaint about immigration is that comedians are talking about it too much nowadays. Yeah.
Bring them in, just don't get them on stage to talk about it.
Yeah, they have to make up other jokes.
I want to see the... Thing. This app is driving me nuts right now.
The Netflix app?
Yeah, like, there's ones I want it to show me. I'm going into, like, stand-up comedians because I can't find the logo of the one I saw that I thought he was really good. He was trying to get on, get the humor award, and then he was Jewish from New York. Because where else are they from? Jerusalem. And then he went to, like, Jewish... He went to summer camp, which was Jewish. But he was hilarious.
That's not Ari Shaffir?
No. Who did you see with... have you seen Ari Shaffir here?
No. I saw him at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. I saw Joey Diaz, Ari Shaffir, a guy named Billy Bonnell that was really funny.
Yeah, Ari Shaffir's...
Who else did I see? Brian Redban. I saw Jeff Ross do a bunch of his jokes for the Bieber roast. Mm-hmm. He was, like, working on them, like, you know, practicing them and stuff. So that was really cool to see him roast Bieber before actually seeing him roast Bieber. Have you seen the roast of Bieber?
No, I don't watch those...
I've seen two of them, and both of them were great. Yeah. I saw the Charlie Sheen roast and the Bieber roast, and both of them were awesome. I don't know that they're always awesome, but those two were awesome. I was a big fan.
I don't care for Chris D'Elia's comedy.
I haven't watched him yet. I'm a big fan of him whenever I hear him on podcasts. I've never seen his stand-up before.
Yeah. It's... I know why you like him on podcasts.
Mm.
It's just like...
It doesn't transfer over in the actual... It's always really relieving for me when I find someone that I guess it doesn't matter, but I remember when the first time I watched Joe Rogan stand up, I was relieved because I was a huge fan of his podcast by then, and I'd never heard a stand up. Then I watched some of his stand up, and I was like, oh, okay, good. Like, I do find this guy hilarious. I'm a big fan of his stand up. Oh,
okay.
So that was relieving because I was scared that I was going to be a big fan of his podcast. You know, and he talks about stand up a lot, and I'm fascinated about stand up. I'm too chicken shit. I think I would one day like to try to pursue it, but he talks about it a lot, and it would have been kind of weird if I didn't like his stand up at all, and I was a big fan of his podcast. But luckily, I'm a big fan of both, as well as the UFC.
This guy was good.
Oh yeah, Joe Mandy's award winning comedy special. Yeah, I was interested. I was gonna at some point watch it.
Enjoyed that.
Yeah, really, eh?
Yeah,
good. Good, that's good. I like stand-up comedy a lot. I don't watch enough of it, actually.
I like the Jews. Yeah.
The Jews are good at... They're good at comedy writing, and they're good at running Hollywood. They're good at writing as well as being stand-up comedians.
And what do you mean, running Hollywood? Are you...
You've never heard that joke about how, like, the Jews run Hollywood? Like, all the Jews are
writers and
directors? I don't know.
Something I've seen about... Entourage, but...
Yeah.
I always thought the joke was that they're good at saving money and have big good noses. At
being smart and saving money and
I like stereotypes.
They're hilarious. We've talked about this before. They are. It's hilarious when stereotypes tend to be true. Funny stereotype about Ari Shaffir. One comedian named Tom Segura, there's many of his specials on Netflix. I find them to be hilarious. And another comedian named Bert Kreisler, they had a competition where they're both a little bit bigger, and they had a competition as to who could lose more weight. And Ari Shaffir got into this competition and was like, yeah, I don't think either one of you guys are going to get your body mass index below obese. And if you do, I'll pay for a trip anywhere you guys want to go. And they both happened to get under the line of obese. And Ari reneged on his bet. True Jew stereotypical fashion, he reneged on his... I didn't see this pitch. The batter doesn't look overly happy about it. Let's see whether we would deem it to be a strike before.
Take the game out of the player's hands.
See, are we going to get a replay? Doesn't look like we're going to get a replay. Cue it up. Maybe they don't want to... Maybe it was a bad call in conspiracy theory. They don't want to make the umps look bad. Well, anyways. So in true stereotypical Jewish fashion, he reneged. So, and then Joe Rogan ended up paying for their trip.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's got... I mean, I don't think the stand-up comedians make a ton of cash until you're, like, top.
Pretty big. But he's got Fear Factor money. He's got UFC money.
Yeah.
He's got podcasting money, and he's got stand-up money. Joe Rogan would
be one of the wealthier stand-up comedians.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got some fucking money. And I'm betting
most of his money isn't from his stand-up.
Yeah, probably not, actually. I'd be interested to know, but yeah. I would think it's... but he doesn't work that many dates with the UFC anymore.
Yeah.
He only really works pay-per-views, and he only works pay-per-views that he doesn't have to go overseas for. So he might not be making as much with the UFC. So the money still might be in stand-up. I'd be interested to know. Like, Bill Burr sold out TCU Place. I think that theater is over 1,000, maybe even 2,000. And, you know, $50 a pop for tickets, maybe more. Like,
that's a hard way to adjust it because there's so many people taking commissions on the tickets.
Absolutely, and the venue. You know... And it's a union employee, you know, like, well, not everyone. Well, I think at a show like that, they might not have had security. Security, they outsource,
yeah.
I believe. Like, the security guards who are in charge of, like,
being... There's a lot that goes into the price of that ticket. Oh,
absolutely. No, 100%. I know that. But he does get some of that. And, you know, he sells out, you know, I think every time he plays a theater, he sells it out. So, you know,
I've only seen, like, bits and pieces of his stand-up. I would bet though that his podcast and his UFC stuff, like, people are more inclined to go see, not because of his, like, is he one of the best stand-ups ever?
Joe Rogan?
Yeah.
For me personally, I would have him like top 10. Really? But okay. I mean, I'm a big fan. Like I'm a little biased. Guess, I'm so into
his podcast. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
I think he's a great stand-up comedian. Like, for me, like, if gun to my head, top five, I would probably have to go Chappelle. And no, in no particular order, but I would go Chappelle. I would go Burr. I'm going to have a hard time making this an entertaining podcast trying to think of my top five off the top of my head, but I consider him great. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I think a lot of people, like, and just from what I've seen of his, like, you know, when you see the highlight reel, like, his highlight reel stuff's like, it's funny, but it's not like...
Doesn't wow. knock your socks off the way that Burr or Chappelle does.
Australian guy.
Oh, Jim Jefferies.
Yeah, like, he's had some really good shit. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's... what am I trying to tell you? I think a lot of people... He might sell extra tickets because of people like you that would go to see his show because he is who he is. And not necessarily... Like, if you're a fan of the... You were to put a stand-up in a, like, in a vacuum, I don't know if he holds as much water or sells as much. Having never seen a special.
Seen an entire special. Yeah, for sure. It's definitely like that with... Kevin Smith is a big one for me. I'm a big fan of him as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
And I think he's made some great films. Like, he's made some films that are legitimately, like, some of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, Clerks is one of my favorite... let alone comedy, is one of my favorite films ever. And he's made some great films. But also a lot... of, especially lately. Like, I think that he's still... I'm a big fan of the movies that he makes lately as well. But they're a lot more experimental in nature lately. And I think if anyone else had made those films, I would still like them. Yeah. I would like them a lot. You know, Red State, I love Red State. Maybe a lot of the reason I love Red State so much is it's such a departure from what he normally does. But regardless, what I'm trying to say is that I'm a fan of the man. Like, I'm a fan of his work. But I'm also, I think there's, it's, I'm doing
I didn't
this.
Even think of him as a stand-up comedian, quite frankly.
Oh, I'm not talking about Kevin Smith. I totally went, I sidetracked, and I'm talking about his films now.
Yeah.
And, you know, his early, all of his Jay and Silent Bob work, I think I'm, but like some of his later, I don't know if you've heard of the film Tusk or Red State or Yoga Hosers. There, I still like those movies. I think I maybe like them more than I would normally had they not been made by Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm doing this new thing where I rate movies based on baseball scoring. I think that Kevin Smith films as of late are maybe a situation where the fences are moved in a little bit. You know?
So you have no consistent rating?
Like I'd say documentaries, the fences are moved in. Comedies, the fences are moved in.
You're saying I fences, still rate things, not defenses.
No, the fences. Yeah, okay. Not. Sorry, I went Black Tourette's on you there. I still rate 5 stars out of 5 stars, but I'm trying to be more creative with the way I rate a movie, and I do it based on.
So what you're saying is that in a regular arena or a regular field, I should say, that that's just a pop-out?
No, a pop-out for an out to happen. I basically have to not like
the movie.
Like
a deep pop-out, obviously. Warning track.
Well, yeah. So if I don't like a movie, but I respect it. Like Dunkirk. I saw Dunkirk. And the way that I describe Dunkirk is a really good hitter named Christopher Nolan comes to the plate. And the bases are loaded. And this pitcher says, fuck, like, I know the bases are loaded. And if I intentionally walk this guy, I'm gonna allow a run. But, like... I'm gonna take that risk because he hits a double. Even if he hits a single, he might drive in 2 runs. He hits a double, he might drive in 3 runs. He hits the ball out of the park. It's a fucking grand slam. So I'm gonna fucking walk this guy, regardless of the fact that the bases are loaded. And Christopher Nolan takes a swing at one of those pitches that's way outside that the catcher's going to catch way out to try to intentionally walk this guy. Oh, they stole second base. They got a runner in scoring position in the top of the sixth with two out. And Christopher Nolan says, fuck this. I'm going to try to get a hit here and drive in more runs than this intentional walk. I'm going to try to hit the ball out of the fucking park.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit a home run, grand slam.
I heard you say
when they're trying to intentionally walk. And he popped out and the run scored. There was a sacrifice fly, which is a productive out that results in an RBI. But he didn't even have to swing the fucking bat to do that. Oh, play the plate. Oh, he's drops out it. If he holds on to the ball. Shit. We got a game now. A two-run baseball game is always...
Are you supposed to tag the base in between pitches?
In between pitches? No, like the runner?
Yeah.
With foul balls, sometimes you'll see guys go back to the base to touch it up. I think that might be a rule that you're supposed to do that. If it is, it's kind of nonsensical.
Yeah.
So, let's look at this play at the plate. That's Ben. Ben with the throw. One hopper. He's got him dead to rights. Unfortunately, wasn't able to hold on to the ball. It's too bad. But basically, yeah, Nolan said, I'm going to hit this ball out of the fucking park even though you're trying to walk me. And instead, he popped out and the run scored on the sacrifice fly, but he didn't even have... Like, it was bad. Now, I appreciate the attempt. I appreciate the effort. You know, he tried to, you know, maybe out of his comfort zone... hit the ball out of the park, but he failed.
So where does this rank as to like a squeeze play for a guy that can't hit?
Well, yeah, it's tough. I mean, a squeeze play...
I'm judging your rating system, by the way.
I mean, yeah, any time when a guy... When an out results from the hitter, it's probably on the sub-3-star side.
Okay.
So, like, unfortunately on Netflix, you don't get half stars, but anything 3 stars.
Do you still get stars on Netflix? I only get thumbs up and down.
I do
now.
On my phone and on my TV.
Oh, okay.
However, on my computer, it now wants thumbs up and thumbs down. And I will, Netflix, if you're listening to this podcast, if you're one of the 6 people listening to this.
We're at 6 now.
Well, it depends. I mean, lately it's been like 4. The one about the fucking guy I picked up, though, was like 30. I think we got 30 downloads from that one. The one where I got my Big Turk bites eaten. Any time that it's 3 stars and up, the hitter got a base hit.
It's so better than
it's
a base
hit. Yeah. So 3 stars and up is a base hit or better. And I would say 2 star or... less than 3 down is the hitter went out. Now, a squeeze play is a very, very... I mean, that would be like a 2.9 repeating. I mean, to the point, like, I don't know that I would ever grade a movie a squeeze play. I'm such a fan of the squeeze play in general, even though... Oh, got him. No, he was there. Logan's not happy. The pitcher's not happy about that call. Do you think he's safe or out? He might have been safe.
I thought he was safe.
I think he was safe, down. Too. The tag wasn't down. You'll see a call like that get called out a lot in league play and in the city because oftentimes they'll call based on the ball beating the runner.
Yeah.
But...
That's hard to call. Like, I guess there's a guy standing there, but I think that's like a hard thing to call.
But, yeah, I think it's just a thing that happens in, you know, in the city. Our umps aren't the greatest. Not that... I mean, it's a tough job. We got some good umps. And, you know, sometimes it's just hard to call the slide and not the throw, not the ball. Oftentimes you'll see, oh, the ball beat him, he's out kind of by, you know, whatever. But, yeah, it's better, obviously, to call the tag and the slide, and I think they might have got that call right. So that's good. But, yeah, I'm such a fan of the squeeze play that I would probably never rate... You know, if I was like, if I didn't quite like the movie, but so many things impressed me, like maybe if there was a movie that I didn't like, but had like some of some great some scenes. Actors, like, yeah. a few great performances. Yeah. Like, maybe gun to my head, I rated There Will Be Blood 3 stars. You know, if you put a gun to my head, I might say sub 3 stars, like maybe 2.9999 repeating. Because Daniel, like, you got to watch that movie for Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah. Like, it's an unbelievable performance, and he won an Oscar for it, rightfully so. Maybe that's a squeeze play. Like, I don't know. I don't know what I would ever classify as a squeeze play. Maybe
I'm just trying to find flaws in your rating
system. Oh, no, and there's plenty of them, believe you me. Like, is a walk a 3-star? I think maybe a walk is a 2.5. And a squeeze play has to be better than a walk. I love squeeze plays in baseball. I'm such a big fan.
Why?
So, it's gutsy, man. Like, I love small ball. I love, you know, bunting guys over, stealing bases, all that stuff. And squeeze play is the epitome of small ball. That is the fucking, the coup de grace, the fucking Cadillac of, as my dad would classify Krispy Kremes, as the Cadillac of donuts. The fucking Cadillac, the fucking coup de grace
of small
ball. The fucking be all, the is the squeeze play. You know, especially the squeeze play when you get the guy running on the pitch. The guy at third takes off. You know, whereas if the guy doesn't get that bunt down, you're basically now got to play at the plate on a steal of home.
Yeah.
You know, like that play, and then you get that bunt down and you squeeze that guy in.
Okay, but what if he's out at home?
Well, I mean, that may be a sub 2 play. Like, I mean, a play like that, I mean, that might be it.
It's a failed squeeze play.
Is it a squeeze play where the guy doesn't get the bunt down and they get him out on the failed attempt, well, the failed squeeze play, but is it like a caught stealing at home?
Yeah.
Like, that might be a 1-star. Like, that might be a 1-star rating for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate the gutsiness of it, so maybe it would be better than 1. You know, and it's, the squeeze play is a tough play to pull off, and that stuff can happen. But yeah, I mean, that's a pretty... Of the things to go wrong offensively in a baseball game, a squeeze play where the guy ends up getting thrown out at home is probably one of other than a double. Well, you know what? A squeeze play where the guy gets thrown out at home might be worse than a double play. You know, because you just lost a possible run.
Yeah.
You know, a double play sucks, and it would definitely be the first thing that would come to mind as like the worst thing that you can do in an at bat is hit into a double play. But at least, you know, it's not a run that you're trying to score that is now not scoring.
Yeah.
You know, and then that hitter might end up striking out.
You didn't take points. Well, you didn't really take points off the board.
But you know, like a cardinal sin in baseball is first out at third. And is that a hit by pitch or a foul ball? Let's see what he rules that.
Okay, it's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere. Oh.
Is this like a final or something?
It's the Canada Games final.
Cool.
Yeah. So like a cardinal sin is first out at third or third out at third. First out at third is kind of like you had a rally, and you know now you got your
you got a whole team behind you in a whole inning yet.
Well, you got none out and a runner on second base or third base.
Yeah.
And now you've got one out and. You know, at the very best, you got a runner.
You're not like that much better off at second than.
Well, and that's the other thing is you're still in scoring position when you're at second base.
Yeah.
So you know, and I think that's part of the reason why the third out at third is so bad as well. Is it's like, well, you could have just held up at second.
Yeah.
And you know, you're
a single away.
Single away from scoring, most likely, depending on situations and arms in the outfield and where the it could be an infield single. It's hard to score a guy from second on an infield single, but. You know, all that stuff. But, yeah, like, I mean, getting a guy thrown out at home, well, and especially, you know, after that squeeze play doesn't work out and the guy gets thrown out at home, you know, the batter that tried to attempt the squeeze play could be out a pitch or two later.
Yeah.
You know, and it's almost like a double play. And he still didn't score that run. So it's like, fuck, you know, that might be in the 1-star
range. Die trying.
You know, a double play. Might be, depending on what kind of double play, might be a 1-star review.
You got weak hitters going for the squeeze play, too, obviously, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Well, no, not necessarily. No, not necessarily at all. No. You got great bunters, you got to have a guy that you trust to get the bunt down. It's not ever necessarily a weak hitter. It may be a weak hitter who's a great bunter, but oftentimes it'll be a great hitter who's great at bunting too, and the coach fully trusts this guy to get that bunt down in a desperate scenario where you're rocking a squeeze play.
Yeah.
You have all the trust in the world on this guy to get it down, so you know, you're trusting. Yeah. You could be a great hitter. You know, Brooks, shout out to Brooks Asham, is a great hitter. Didn't have the greatest weekend at Provincials, unfortunately, but that happens. I mean, we saw a lot of tough pitching. You know, great bunter, great hitter, and, you know, definitely a guy that our coach is going to trust with the squeeze play. You know, so it's not necessarily weak hitter at all. But yeah, like, I mean, a strikeout could be a one-star rating. There's certain strikeouts that are better than others. You know, a strikeout that, you know, the guy's trying to swing for the fences, you know, and has all the ability in the world. Say a great filmmaker makes a terrible movie. You might...
Gets a little too artsy with it.
Yeah, you know, he just took a big swing. He tried to hit it out of the park and he failed.
Big cut.
He might be one-star rating.
The changeup instead of the fastball.
And... You know, he took a big cut and you know, what are you going to do? You might... classify that. You might respect the effort and classify it as a 2-star rating, or maybe the guy has an 11 pitch at bat and strikes out.
Yeah.
You know, well, you wore down the pitcher, still didn't like the movie. It's mm-hmm. it's a 2-star
yeah.
rating, but you know, you fought. But yeah, I mean, the squeeze play. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I. You might even have to give a squeeze play a 3-star rating,
just because you like it. So
just because you like it, maybe you know, but. Yeah, any position, any time when the guy gets out, the batter is out. Yeah, I'd have to say it's a sub 3-star rating. Any 3-star basically means single.
If you hit a runner into an out? Safe at first, but runner at second's out.
Fielder's choice. That would be a that'd be a sub 3-star rating.
Okay.
That'd probably be a 2-star, or you know maybe
does
a
does that go against your batting average?
Yes. Fielder's choice goes against your batting average. Reaching on an error goes against your batting average.
Reaching on an error?
So if you reach base safely,
yeah.
but an error was made, then it goes against your batting average. It doesn't count for your on base percentage either, but there's a thing called weighted on base percentage, which I think includes... reaching base by an error. It might even include fielder's choice,
so
maybe not.
It get reaching base on an error doesn't improve your OBP.
No,
OBP?
It improves your weighted OBP. There's a thing called weighted on base percentage.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Which will include reaching base by an error, and I don't know whether it includes reaching base by a fielder's choice either. I would say reaching on an error is better than reaching on a fielder's choice. Because there was probably no out that resulted from you getting on base. Whereas a fielder's choice, you're on base, but there was an out. You hit into an out.
I mean, I think the thing is when you reach base on an error, the assumption is that you would have been out.
You should have been out. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. For sure.
So it goes against or it's neutral? Like it comes out of the numerator?
It goes against. Yeah. It goes. It's like they made the play.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, but, I mean, when you're trying to win a baseball game, you don't really care about your bat. Well, you shouldn't care about your batting average and your on-base percentage. None of that stuff
matters. I sometimes mentally try to keep track of that stuff for myself in slow pitch, but
it's got to be really hard to do in slow pitch, let alone in baseball. It's tough to keep track of it yourself. Usually, depending on the league, like our league, we keep stats. So we pay our scorekeepers, and then we have year-end stats, and we have year-end awards.
Oh, cool.
You know, and we've got a couple awards that are solely based off of the stats, like the batting title, pitching wins, ERA, lowest ERA. Like, we've got awards that are incumbent on
the stats. Yeah.
You know, there's other awards, like MVP, which is, you know, it's a judgment award, and I think best pitcher might be a judgment award, and... You know, there are things.
But the stats are probably
defensive player of the year is judgment based. Yeah. But there are awards that are solely based on the statistics. Triple crown. So if somebody leads the league in home runs, RBIs, and and
stolen bases
and batting average. That's a triple crown. It's rare. I think our last triple crown winner in our league is now playing pro ball in the Tigers organization. Player by the name of Cole Beimel. I don't know what level of pro, but he's in the Tigers organization right now.
Cool.
Neat. So, what, you want another beer?
Well, I don't want to take all your beers, but I'll drink one if you have one for me.
Absolutely. Well, fuck you, and drink all my beers. I really appreciate you coming over.
For the invite.
A question that I hate broached in a conversation, but is probably suitable in a podcast. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I was just thinking about my first time playing baseball.
I wanted to ask you about this. I'm glad you brought this up.
I've subbed for my friend on my friend's team that's in the league below you guys. Sounds like it's way below you guys.
Well, the men's league has changed. They now have three divisions within the men's league. And I think the Expos are men's C. So I guess they'd be...
They said your league was one above.
Well,
they're at the very bottom of it.
Yeah. So the men's league is a big league that has a lot of teams. And it's the league below our league. But it's now divided into three divisions within that league.
Oh, okay.
So there's A, B, and C. And I think the Expos are C.
Well, the team we played, they said that they would be moving... They were trying to move up into what you're playing.
Oh, really? Great. Another team in the senior men's league would be great. Really, eh? So they're...
Well, that's what they were telling me.
They'd like to move up to the senior league.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, awesome. They showed up really early. They were practicing and stuff.
Was it, Tisdale?
No. I want to call them. I didn't check out their name all that well. I want to call them the Nationals.
Okay.
Is there a Nationals?
There is. They're new. Yeah, I think there's a new... I remember hearing there was a team. You guys might have played a B team that night because I think the B teams play C and A.
Oh, okay.
And the A teams play B and A. The C teams play B and C. You guys might have been playing a B team. Because I remember there's a new team in the men's league that was really quite good. And usually when they get a new team, you have to start.
You got to
start from the bottom. Now we're here.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, no, these guys are legit. They're good. Let's at least start them in B. Because then they'll get to play the A teams and the C teams. Or they'll get to play the A teams. You know, like they're good.
Yeah.
At least they'll get a shot to play some A teams.
Yeah.
So that might have been the teams you guys were playing. But I'm really happy to hear that there's another team interested in playing in our league. We've got eight in the senior league right now. And that's the most, as long as I've been playing senior men's baseball since 2003. And this is the most teams we've ever had.
Oh, really?
So if we have even, that would be awesome. I'd be ecstatic if we had another team in our league.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
They seemed a lot more organized than, but I mean, the team that I played on, they were like, it was their last game of the year. And then it was also on the Saturday of a long weekend. And we started the game with eight and there was one other substitute. Like, it was not their ideal lineup. And I think we lost like 9-1, 10-1, something like this.
Oh, you guys got a run. You drove in that run.
I got the RBI
single. Keep telling the story.
Well, no, it's...
Yeah, you told me about the RBI. I forgot. You told me that you got the only hit of the whole game for the Expos.
I did.
Which is impressive. And you also told me there was an RBI single and I forgot.
Yeah.
About that, so you broke a shutout.
Yeah, so the guy could throw break, like I could see like breaking balls, which
there was movement.
Yeah, there was movement. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my first at bat, I know I whiffed real hard on my first swing.
Yeah,
I swung at the first pitch. First at bat, it was weird because like I play slow pitch, and I figured it would be the ball that would fuck me up more than anything. But
the size of the ball?
Yeah, or just like the speed and the timing or whatever. Yeah. But once I grabbed the bat that they asked me to use, like it was so much heavier than what I was used to.
And
so
it's
like,
made out of wood.
Actually, the wood didn't bother me as much as the weight did.
That's a big run. Saskatchewan just went up 3-1. That's a huge run.
With two outs as well.
With two out.
Yeah.
You know, and Manitoba's been coming back.
But yeah, like, it just, like, you know, racquetball, I think I have, I don't know how much of a baseball swing I have, but, like, I know I can make contact with
the object. Your hand-eye is going
to
be there.
My hand-eye is fine. But it was just, like, the weight of the bat really kind of fucked up my timing, in addition to, like, now I'm getting... I have no idea how fast those pitches were coming, but they're much faster than slow pitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So then the first time I hit, like, it was pretty deep pop. Like, they caught it near, I don't know, 10 steps from the fence. Huh. And then second...
It's deeper than I usually hit the ball, that's for sure.
And then the second at bat, I took... two balls, and then I think I got a strike, and then I swung at the fourth one, and it kind of dropped over the, like just over the dirt, and in the gap, I guess is what you'd call that, between first and second, a little off field for me.
But it was like just at, like just on the edge of the...
It wasn't just on the edge. It was like halfway, like it was out of, just out of reach of the second baseman.
Okay, yeah, that would... The gap is reserved for the areas out in the outfield.
Okay,
the in between the outfielders.
I mean, an outfielder threw it back in. But it...
It's a solid base hit.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
And then, yeah, so the pitcher had walked a guy at that point. I think we may have had two outs as well, actually. And then, we walked a guy. He walked a guy. He stole twice.
Oh, geez. Stole second and third, eh?
I singled him in. And then, maybe he only stole once. And then, I'm not sure if he was at second or third.
Yeah.
How
deep was the count when you got the hit? Like, how many pitches did you see?
It was two balls, one strike.
Two balls, one strike. Okay, so this is the fourth pitcher they have out.
Cool. Yeah. And then, he got in. Now, of course, I've never, like, let off before, so I was pretty shy about that, because I didn't want to get, like, yeah. Never really dove for, like,
still back to a bag for,
yeah.
before, yeah.
You know, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I've never played before.
Yeah, sorry, I'm super rookie. It's the first time I've ever played baseball.
Yeah. And then he walks the guy after me. Now I move over to second.
Yeah.
And the guy's like kind of the guy that was after me was like team captain or whatever. He's like, lead off, man. I need you to score. Like, if there's a hit, you gotta score.
You gotta score from second base with two out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you gotta score.
Yeah. Take some space. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I don't know, two steps. And then, like, another thing that I'm not used to from playing so much slow pitch is that, in theory, I should have been lining up, like, I realize this after, but taking, like, when I'm on second, I should have taken a step or two, like, back from the mound.
Yeah.
So that I could round third easier.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, to make your path.
To cut
my angle. You can do that. Yeah, to cut your
angle. But I never would have thought of that, because, again, slow pitch, you stay on the
You stay on the baseline kind of the whole way.
You stay on the baseline. Because you can't lead off. So you're on the base.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not going to get an angle on anything. Because, I mean, you might get a little bit, but your foot has to be on the base the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
anyways, the guy struck out, and that was that.
That was that. Well,
and he didn't really get much action in the outfield.
No, oftentimes you don't. Sometimes you get a crazy amount of action, but...
Yeah, there was one inning where they pumped two down they landed fair and were out by the time, by the time I got to
them. Yeah, they went, but they didn't go, like, out of play. Sometimes you get a ball, pretty rare, but then it's like a ground rule that lands fair and then goes way out and ground rule double. That's pretty tough to do. So they were like, they landed fair, went foul, you had to run and throw them in.
Yeah. And of course, the one time it was like at the, like, back, rolls back to the fence by the time I got there, but.
Yeah.
Because I think he was a right-handed hitter and I'm in right field, so I'm
shifted. You're shifted a little bit, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It is runner at first base, 1-0, none out. The guy just walked. The relief pitcher came in and walked the leadoff batter. It looks like he's a little, I mean, I'm sure it's a nerve-wracking position in a save scenario right now. There's a strike. So he's feeling better now, I think.
So yeah, that was baseball.
You liked it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'd be happy to see you enjoy baseball and play baseball.
I mean, I think I could, like, I think I did okay. I think if I went and played once a week or more often and got used to bat and seeing pitches.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, seeing some breaking pitches, seeing what's a strike, what isn't, what do I got to swing at, what don't I, you know, how do I run bases, how do I field, how do I throw that smaller ball. Oh, double play? No, he's got to take the out at first. Got him. That was close. Guy was speedy. Yeah, and, you know, how do I throw this ball? How do I field this ball?
Yeah.
What are scenarios? Yeah, just learning the game, playing the game and learning it.
Yeah,
for sure.
But I felt like this is just me being egotistical, but I don't think I was the worst person on the team, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like,
hey, so saying something, for sure.
That ain't bad for my
first time you came out and played baseball, you weren't the worst guy on the team. I mean,
I'm a big fan of me, so I might be a little biased, but...
But I think you're also smart enough to have a realistic, you know, like, you're going to...
I know not, I'm not the best
there's
on the team.
There's no alternative facts with you, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think that you're delusional in where you rank your ability. You know, I don't think you're way out of line in where you would rank your own ability.
Yeah.
In relation to...
Well, especially in something where I have no ego in it.
Yeah. Yeah,
like well, it's... or not as much.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes I could get a little out of my, get an inflated head talking about racquetball, but
yeah, but this is a sport you've never played before.
Yeah,
so I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at all.
Yeah.
Versus. Oh, good play. Two out. They are one out away from the Canada Games Championship. Team Saskatchewan. Nice little play on the short. Oh, this is the first out of the inning. That's not the replay I wanted to see.
There's not a lot of dingers in this, is there?
No, there's not a lot of dingers generally in midget baseball. I'd say there's probably a lot in bantam, but the size of the fence, like our bantam park is... Yeah, like, there's not really a single triple to be had in that whole park. It doesn't really matter how fast somebody is. It's freaking hard for anyone to hit a triple. It's basically double or home run. And the fences. And I feel like there's a lot of home runs that happen in bantam baseball. But midget, not all the time, but a lot of the time, they're playing on basically a major league-sized park. You know, when they're 16, 17, 18. So you will see home runs. They absolutely happen, but it's if you're expecting to see you know, home runs at the level at the rate that you do in the majors
right now.
Hmm.
That one just called strike. Didn't even move.
I know he wasn't happy with the first pitch called strike.
Didn't take his bat off his shoulders.
Well, let's see what he does here. Ball 2-2. Tying runs at the plate. The mean nothing run is at third base. The go-ahead run is on deck. 2-2, the count. Two out. Ball 3. A walk would put the go-ahead run...
Go up to the mound and talk to him, just like they do in the bigs. Settle him down. You got this. You got this, you motherfucker.
Strike this motherfucker out.
First pitch of the game. Don't sweat it. Maybe third pitch of the fourth inning when you're all...
Oh, fought it off. Yeah, it's a battle here. We're into the seventh pitch of the at-bat right away here.
No fouls. I thought I would have hit a foul ball.
Really, eh?
The two balls that made contact with were
good contact.
Yeah.
And fair.
Got him.
Yeah, Saskatchewan.
Canada Games champs. Canada Games champions. Team Saskatchewan. Good for them.
And that's the ball game, ladies and gentlemen. Team Saskatchewan. Win by a score of 3-1 over Team Manitoba. Voilà qui conclut la rencontre. L'équipe Saskatchewan remporte le match au compte de 3-1 contre l'équipe du Manitoba.
So you know some of the guys on this coaching staff?
Yep. One of the guys, yeah, I know one of the guys fairly well on the coaching staff.
Mesdames et messieurs, on vous demande de rester car la remise des médailles débutera dès qu'on est capable de le faire.
Good for them.
Is this, like, equivalent to or bigger than a Nationals, or are there...
I'm not totally sure how it works, because they have Canada Cup in a few weeks here. Okay. And Canada Cup is a provincial best-on-best, but there's age restrictions. So Midget goes 16, 17, 18, and Canada Cup is just 16, 17.
Okay.
Or younger. Every now and then there is a player in Bantam, even younger than Midget age, that plays on the Canada Cup team. It's yeah. Pretty rare. There's one pool that used to be, I don't know if it's changed now, but Ontario, Quebec, Alberta, and BC were in one pool, and the rest of the provinces were in the other pool. Now, the one pool is smaller, but I think basically to kind of even it up because of size of province as well as success of the province in the past.
Yeah.
It's just 16, 17-year-olds and below. The other pool, they're allowed to have either two or three overagers.
Oh, okay.
So you get either two or three... third-year midget players that are allowed in that other pool. Saskatchewan was fourth 2 years ago. They were fourth 3 years ago. They were second 2 years ago, and they won Canada Cup.
So we have
Canada
good ball
Cup.
Players here.
Lately, it's been very good. They won last year, and it's the first time since, I think, like, I don't want to say what year of the 90s or even what area of the 90s was, but I think it might have been like mid to early 90s.
Yeah.
Was the only other time Saskatchewan...
Just to say the 90s means at least, you know, 17
It was
years.
Quite a while ago, but that was the only time that Team Saskatchewan ever won Canada Cup. But they had, and they won last year. And the year before that, they were second, and the year before that, they were fourth. So they've done incredibly well lately.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely been an advantage to play with the overagers.
Yeah.
But also, you know, Ontario, Quebec, BC, Alberta, they've got a vast greater population to pull from.
Yeah.
I think because of their success lately, they may be in the tougher pool.
Wait, did they put... Where's Manitoba?
Manitoba is in the other pool.
The big
the
population.
Big pool with no the little the one with like Saskatchewan,
the little population.
PEI, New Brunswick,
yeah. Okay.
You know,
the small
else?
Population,
Manitoba, yeah, like they're all in that other pool that's got much more. So I think they play the same amount of games in the pool, so one pool has, or maybe even more games. There's a pool of four, and they play everyone twice. And then it's hard to explain the way the draws work, but the top three in that four-team pool are at least... They're into the medal round.
Yeah.
The third-place team in that pool has got a tougher route because they got to play a quarterfinal.
Yeah.
But the top three move on and they're playing, you know, must-win games. Where the fourth-place team in that pool... The fourth place team in that pool is out. Now I think the top two in the other pool play the top two move on. So I think it goes first in the small population pool plays second in the big population pool. First in the big population pool plays the winner of second in the little population pool and third in the big population pool.
That makes sense.
So, you know, you've got I think they play, I don't know how many provinces are in the little population pool, but I think they play six. I think they play six. Well, they play everyone twice in the little population pool for a total of six games in the round robin. And I think they play a total of five games in the small population round robin. But then three out of the four teams move on.
Yeah.
And only two move on in the little population pool. But regardless, because Saskatchewan has done so well lately, they might be in that tougher pool now.
Yeah.
Because of their success. And then I don't think they're allowed to bring overagers anymore. But yeah, they have done very well. They won Canada Cup last year. They've won Canada Games. Now, like so you asked, I don't know if Canada Games doesn't have the age restriction that Canada Cup has. It may just be a selects tournament. Or, you know, I don't know if maybe it's one that they don't, you know, it's maybe not. I think the Canada Cup, it feels to me that Canada Cup seems to be a more prestigious tournament. But Canada Games, you've also got, you know, you're playing, it's a multi-sport event, so maybe it is on the level or maybe even more. But it seems to me the Canada Cup is the prestigious one. So maybe some of these other teams are not sending their best team.
Knowing what Canada Games are, it would almost stand to reason that they would probably just do 18 and 17-year-olds.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Maybe you don't take
in first years. Well, I guess you're fine. You let in your 16s if you want. I guess they don't care. But
maybe it is only second and third years that go to Canada Games.
Yeah.
I don't know. It also may be of less prestige, so maybe there's players that opt out.
Yeah.
Like there's players that opt out of, even if they are out of the playoffs, they opt out of the World Hockey Championship.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know these things. I'm pretty psyched that Team Saskatchewan just won Canada Games, but I don't know the ramifications of everything.
Yeah. And you don't know how big.
I don't know how big of a deal it is. Yeah, exactly. But
okay.
But I don't know how it works, but it's pretty cool they won. Regardless, I mean, Saskatchewan, you know, winning a national tournament, you know, in a selects national tournament.
Well, you know, and you think cool. of like I don't know. Clearly, you know, 50 times more about baseball than I do. I just think about, like, you know, the Canadian players that made it to the majors, to the big league, they're all Ontario and BC. Like,
pretty much, yeah.
There could be guys
from elsewhere. The odd guy from Quebec. There's been five from Saskatchewan ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, were there...
Yeah, Andrew Albers, Dustin Mulliken, and then there's been a guys from a different era.
I knew about
Andrew and then Albers. There's Stu Shewater made it to the bigs as an umpire.
Okay, well, so I guess, sorry.
There's six people to make the big leagues in any...
I guess when I'm saying, though, make them, I mean, like, Andrew Albers, he pitched a couple games. And I don't mean to take
anything away from him. Oh, no, I know
but, like,
that.
He's not, like, I guess he's gotten out, so he is a major leaguer, but, like, he's not a... He didn't play a season, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he didn't sign a contract.
Yeah.
A, like, MLB contract with anyone, best of my knowledge. I think it was... Two-way, you know, he was a call-up.
Yeah.
You know, and he's... I mean, he...
He's not the...
He had cups of coffee, and he had some great cups of coffee. You know, I think he pitched, like, a four-hit shutout.
Yeah.
In the bigs. And then I think he pitched another shutout the next start that he had. Like, he's...
It was... He had two
dynamite starts. He's done incredibly great.
Yeah.
But, yes, he hasn't been... He hasn't filled a roster spot full-time with a club.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't had a contract with, you know... Yeah, so whether you consider that a big leaguer or not, he has played in the bigs, and there's been five players ever that have played in the major leagues.
Then that almost like kind of further proves the point of what I'm trying to say is, like, if your qualification is like guys that signed a contract, guys that held a roster spot for a season, like, there's been nobody from Saskatchewan.
I don't know, but it's not from a modern era. Yeah. Like, there's a thing in the umpires' room at Cairns Field that has a thing that says
Canadian
all the guys.
The players, by and large, are BC and
BC
and Ontario.
Yeah, and I think a guy won a Cy Young from Quebec.
Okay.
He was a closer. I think he did win a Cy Young as a closer, which, I mean...
I just find it interesting that all of a sudden Saskatchewan's competitive
teams. It's great. Yeah, it's wonderful. And, you know, in a time where, like, when I started playing baseball, I think I started at a greater attendance year. Because I my first year of baseball was the year after the Jays won their first World Series. Mm. So I think registration was higher.
Yeah.
You know, but like registration's going to be higher for all the Canadian.
Yeah. No, it's like kids playing lacrosse this year.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
This year and last year, yeah.
You know, but the fact that, you know, registration's going to be higher in Canada, period. It doesn't mean that Saskatchewan's going to have a strong year at baseball. Like, I don't know. I know that I think in the past, like when I played baseball...
It can also mean that baseball Canada is getting weaker.
I play baseball. It could mean that. I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not too. But
when I was a kid playing baseball, like I said, when I played baseball, I still play baseball. But growing up for me, like there was baseball season, and there was, you know, like now there's been a lot more off season baseball stuff in Saskatchewan.
Yeah,
where. It's not always, I mean, like, I've heard Gretzky talk about hockey, and, you know, guys talk about off-season training, and Gretzky was like, well, my off-season training, I played baseball, I played lacrosse, like, I played other sports. I'm not necessarily saying that it's necessarily the be-all and the end-all, and what needs to happen to make great baseball players is you play baseball in some form or fashion year-round, but I know that Saskatchewan has done a lot more winter baseball as of late, and they've now all of a sudden they've been competing at these national events. So, I mean, you know, the chicken and the egg, you know, the I don't know the analogies that cause and effect. I mean, I gotta kind of contribute something to that. But yeah, it's been a pretty... You know, like, it's been a thing lately where, you know, in midget tournaments in Saskatchewan, selects tournaments anyways, midget AAA, the winner of provincials goes to nationals, and they have, like, there's Canada Games.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask.
Which is a selects tournament. There's Canada Cup, which is a selects tournament. I'm meaning like all-star team, basically.
Yeah, somebody just sits around and like, this is the best
provincial
player.
Team. This is who we're taking.
This is the best third baseman. This is the best second.
Yeah. Now there's the midget AAA national championships where all of the provincial winners from every province play in a tournament to go to nationals.
Yeah.
Or sorry, they play for a national title.
Yeah.
So there's, and mind you, the Munster Red Sox, Munster. You know, not a great not a huge population to draw from.
Yeah.
But the Munster Red Sox won the bronze medal at the Midget AAA National Championships last year, which is incredibly impressive for the size of the population they're pulling from.
From you where? Know? Munster?
Munster. Munster, Saskatchewan. And now there's probably a lot of players from Humboldt and Marysburg, you know, places around that area. But I mean, for that, and you know, they win provincials, and you pick up players from other teams to go to nationals.
Yeah,
you know, so there is a degree of selects of provincial teamness to it, but you're sending a club team.
Yeah,
so there is club tournaments that, you know, the
they
teams that
Red
win
Sox
provincials go
not,
to
they
yeah
Red
exactly
Sox, not
well I think you can wear Team Saskatchewan gear, and Saskatchewan baseball will pay that team like some funding to wear Team Saskatchewan stuff. I don't know whether they did that or not.
Yeah.
I know when we went to junior nationals, we wore Stallions. Like we hosted junior nationals is 19 to 21. That's after midget. There's junior, which is 19 to 21, and we hosted Junior AAA Nationals. And I think, you know, there's the offer, you know, we'll pay you, pay your team this much money to wear your Team Saskatchewan stuff. And you said, no, we rocked our Stallions gear.
Yeah.
And we won a bronze medal at Junior AAA
nice.
Provincials. But, I mean, at the club level, I don't think our provincial reps, you know, have done, other than Munster. Munster won a bronze medal at Nationals. Midget AAA Nationals last year, Munster won a bronze medal. We won a bronze medal in 2005 at Junior AAA Nationals. That year, the Saskatoon Cubs, I think, were fourth at Midget AAA Nationals. That's 16, 17, 18. They were fourth at Nationals, but I think other than that, there hasn't been great finishes that have happened at the club level.
Yeah.
But these selects teams that we're sending, you know, whether it's Canada Cup or, you know, like lately it's been very good. So, you know, cause and effect, I don't know what's, whether, like you said, whether it's maybe the rest of the nation.
I mean, it could be
there's, or just the winter training or yeah. good coaching or just ability, just a yeah. bunch of great yeah. kids. Maybe it's a bunch of it's based on Munster, like on this selects team that just won this gold medal here, this Canada Games gold medal and Canada Cup last year. A lot of these players are from the Munster Red Sox.
Are they?
Yeah. You know, Brody Frerichs, Logan Hoffman, you know, there's a few players from Munster. You know, maybe it's just that area, something in the water. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but, you know, it's been impressive lately, which is...
Townies.
Yeah. Nothing else to do but, you know, get really good at baseball.
Well, yeah. Good for them. Good for
yeah, Saskatchewan. Absolutely. It's nice. Nice to see the home team win for once. So, you see any good movies lately?
I haven't watched a whole lot of movies lately. I went and saw Spider-Man.
You like Spider-Man.
I do like Spider-Man.
You're a fan of Spider-Man.
I'd You're say kind of he's my favorite superhero.
Favorite superhero?
If as a 33-year-old man I have a favorite superhero still, then it's Spider-Man.
Better than Batman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I think I like the Batman movies.
Better than the Spider-Man
Historically
movies.
Speaking.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, is your favorite superhero based on the movie, based on the quality of the art that has depicted them? Or is it based on the quality of that superhero? Want another beer?
No, I'm fine right now.
Okay.
I don't know if you're... Yeah. I like Spider-Man from the 94 Fox TV series.
That cartoon was great. That was a great cartoon.
And I know that there were good Batman series and stuff too, but... Anyways,
apparently that Batman animated series, sorry to interrupt you, is great.
It's in
I haven't
the,
watched
like,
much
IMDb
of it.
Top 50
yeah.
shows.
I've watched like a few episodes and I've been impressed with what I've seen.
Yeah.
There's so much of it and I think that's a little bit of a drawback because it's like,
it's
oh, there's like 100 episodes of this. I should watch it, but it's, I don't know why it is, but with series that have like so many episodes, it's hard for me to commit and like really start watching them because I know it's so much work. It's an uphill battle.
Yeah.
But I've heard great things about the Batman animated series. But anyways,
I just
we both agree
on
the
yeah.
Spider-Man
yeah.
animated series was awesome.
Yeah, so I think just from that, like, I think I liked him before that and then that kind of, like, seals the deal
in your
me.
Head right
yeah.
away. Yeah. Like, for me, I struggled with the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies because I liked the animated series so much that, like, Fox,
yeah.
you know, early, mid-90s, I was such a big fan of that show. Then when I saw, I was really jacked up for Spider-Man, the movies, the live action, when I saw them, I was like, it's not as good as the cartoon.
See,
and
I
just
remember.
Felt there was something off about, I haven't seen Spider-Man 2, which many claim is the best Spider-Man movie. I haven't
Which
seen
Spider-Man
that. 2? Spider-Man 2, the one with Dr. Octopus.
Really? Okay.
I haven't seen that, and I've heard from many people that's the best one. But the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man just felt like
I something was missing. I remember seeing that with you in Burlington,
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
You know, sorry, this is just a weird story. I was in Burlington for work when the first Spider-Man, like the Amazing Spider-Man came out.
Really?
And I was like there, bored out of my tree for work.
Yeah.
And I am certain I went to that same theater.
Wow.
And saw it. Like I just went there by myself midday, checked out a movie. I think later I stayed at Mike's. Yeah, I went to...
And just, Mike drove us to the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Did he?
He drove, I remember Keegan Larson. Like, you must have been in there, too.
And Vera.
He gave us a ride, or at least he gave Keegan Larson and I a ride to that, to a theater to watch the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man in Burlington.
I just remember from being a kid, I just remember the billboard. But I remember when we got out of that theater, we were all jacked about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I don't know if even at that age, I was, like, critically watching movies and caring about the...
I was, like I said, holding it to the standard of the cartoon. And what bugged me right away is the no web shooters. The fact that he shoots webs out of his body, I was like, no. Like, and I thought that the depiction... The pro wrestling origin of Spider-Man, like, it's kind of a dopey storyline, especially now that, like, pro wrestling itself has come out and said, hey, like, it's entertainment. This isn't real athletic competition. Like, this is art. This is entertainment. And, you know, the very first origin of Spider-Man, there's, like, some pro wrestling stuff in there where he's, like, fighting. But, like, that was at a time when, like, people didn't necessarily know pro wrestling was...
What year did that come out? This was, like, 2000?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't...
But the original, like, Spider-Man started in, like, the 60s. So, like, original origin story of Spider-Man has to do with he goes to wrestle to make money to help with his crime and all that. And then you made a movie in, like, early 2000s. And I was like, you could have left out the pro wrestling origins of Spider-Man in favor of having web shooters.
See, and I would have...
I just thought the pro wrestling stuff was lame. Even though I was like, oh, they did... I saw this origin story in the cartoon. Like, that's cool. But like, this is lame to me. And I really didn't like that he was producing the web himself. Which is maybe... Maybe not the cliff you want to die on or whatever the saying goes. But anyway, sorry, go on. He's
Spider-Man, he shoots webs, whatever.
But we were, and we didn't watch movies with a critical eye back then, like you were saying before I interrupted
you. It seemed like a good, like at the time, it was like, it was kind of like an episode of Spider-Man, but
live. Live action,
I mean, during the era of that series, I've learned to like, you know, the third one was bad.
Yeah, and I've seen...
There were way too many villains.
Oh,
That was such...
The third one sucked. But the first one, I liked...
Awesome.
Venom, there's so much potential with Venom, and that's why...
And then all of a sudden, they got to bring in Sandman. Like, Sandman could have his own... I mean, maybe...
Or not. Or just, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I mean, I liked the first one, but there was like, there's something off with this. I don't know if it's Tobey Maguire. I don't know what it was, but I was just... Something off about this. I never saw 2, which I've heard people say is the best one, and 3 sucked.
Yeah.
And then I saw the Andrew Garfield. I watched the first Andrew Garfield one, and while I don't like that movie, I think they found the right tone for Spider-Man. So, like, if you look at the cartoon, which I'm sure is probably about as loyal to the comics as you will get... Spider, like, Peter Parker's an awkward, like, nerdy high school kid.
Yeah.
But Spider-Man is, like, he's trash-talking. The whole time he's fighting people, he's talking trash, he's making one-liners. And for the Andrew Garfield, the Amazing Spider-Man or whatever it was called, they got Spider-Man right.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a big fan of Andrew Garfield as an actor. Maybe not the best Peter Parker. I didn't think the writing in that movie was very good. But I thought they got Spider-Man right. The way that he acts, he's smarmy, he's quippy, he's trash-talking the whole time. Yeah. You know, and I thought that, I didn't like that movie. But I thought there were things about it that were good. I liked the way they captured Spider-Man. Anyways, I'll
shut up. It's good. So the Homecoming, I liked it. It was a good movie. I love Michael Keaton. He was good. I think my biggest criticism about it was, like, I think they over-Avengered it, as I mentioned to you. Like, I like those guys being there, but, and Tony Stark was essential to the plot, but, like, there was a lot of, like, I felt like, if I have to find a criticism, you know, they didn't need Captain America in there. They didn't need to talk about the Avengers being in there so much. Like, it was central to it, and, like, all of a sudden Tony's built him a suit, and his suit's fucking with him. Like, you know, I was like, just let him be fucking Spider-Man, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why does Tony Stark gotta watch over him? I don't remember any of that.
Well,
in 94.
From a business standpoint, the reason.
Yes.
From a business standpoint, there was a trade-off that was made where, okay, Marvel, you get creative control, you write the movie, you make the movie, we get the money, we get the money, and we get an Avenger, and in return, you get Spider-Man for your Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Like, that's why.
We'll loan this back and forth. Like, yes, I get, I,
you get,
me,
the,
I get
business,
the business
standpoint of
but
it.
But I showed up to Spider-Man.
But from a story, he showed up to see Spider-Man.
All these fucking weird people are in my Spider-Man movie. You know, like, that's, like, and sure, the Avengers existed in the other Spider-Mans, but they're minor characters.
Yeah,
you know,
well, they don't exist in any cinematic.
Well, I'm,
you know,
not even talking about
depiction of Spider-Man.
Like,
you're talking about,
like
cartoons,
the
comics.
The Fox cartoon.
Yeah,
that's my Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Like that, I never really read the comics. That was my Spider-Man, and Tony Stark was in like 4 or 5 episodes.
Yeah,
and
Spider-Man,
like, 60
was in
70.
4 or 5 X-Men.
Yeah.
Episode, like the X-Men cartoon, he would show up.
Yeah,
like,
Wolverine was in a couple of Spider-Man episodes too, and it's fine. Like, it's, you know, they can all be there.
But
I have
it wasn't
no problem with
central,
it, but it was like, yeah.
You know, I mean, the big strength on the Spider-Man, well, this, I mean, that,
you know,
Spider-Man cartoon,
like,
was so good, but
it,
like,
pissed me off
Venom
a little bit.
In the Spider-Man cartoon was when it really ramped up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when Venom showed up in the
whole,
you're like, oh, fuck, now we're getting into it.
Yeah.
You know.
And I hope that they can do that. Maybe they'll wean him off. I just kind of felt like he almost played a Big Ben role, or Uncle Ben, pardon me, and like, he did and he didn't. You know, it was like the Tony Stark had to, like, yell him into place, whereas the guilt he had from Uncle Ben could have just done it, but...
Yeah, no, for sure. For me, it was by far... Now, I still haven't seen Spider-Man 2. And
I like those movies.
I will watch it soon, the one with Dr. Octopus. I will watch that because I've heard great things. And
don't say that. I think if you're going to watch any of the Spider-Man 2s, watch The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, are you serious? Are you really?
Yeah.
You're in a vast minority saying that. I've heard from, well...
2 to 2?
I've heard that, well, I didn't like The Amazing Spider-Man. And I've heard that The Amazing Spider-Man 2 is awful. And I didn't like...
There's a couple needless scenes.
I didn't like The Amazing the Amazing Spider-Man. I didn't like that to begin with.
Why not?
I didn't like it. I thought it was poorly written. I just wasn't... Yeah. I liked the way Spider-Man was depicted, but I just wasn't into that. I just thought the love story stuff was lame. I just thought it was bad. If I had to chalk it down, it would be writing. I just thought it was a bad movie. So... I'm not really excited to watch a sequel of that bad movie, especially when I've heard that it's really bad.
Yeah.
I like Jamie Foxx. I mean, I might watch it at some point, but I've heard that Spider-Man 2, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 2 with Dr. Octopus, is the best, or up until... I haven't heard anyone say that still after Homecoming, but mind you, I have heard that was the best one. I haven't seen that one yet. For me, Homecoming was far and away the best depiction of Spider-Man in a live-action movie that I've ever seen. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I'll give it that.
I thought it was like an RBI double. And the endings of the superhero movie, you've probably heard me, you know, my baseball rating to it. The thing that seems to be happening lately with these superhero movies is they have a tough time with the ending. Wonder Woman is a good movie. It's got a shitty ending. The endings, they just can't quite seem to figure it out. So if I had to, I would say that Spider-Man is an RBI double that gets thrown out at third base.
Why?
Because the ending, they just couldn't quite get...
Like, what didn't you like about the ending?
I just thought it was too kind of run-of-the-mill. Like, it was just...
Like, both people live. Both of them live.
Well, which is fine, but just, like, the airplane stuff and the spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You know, it just... I don't know what it was, but, like, you know, for me, 4 out of 5 is a double or better. You know?
I'd be okay with...
And a 4.5 would be a triple.
Yeah.
Triples are pretty rare, you know... 4.5 would be a triple, almost a home run. For me, it was definitely easily a double. It was a double. Stand-up double. You know, it had potential for a triple. That ending just didn't quite hit, and he got thrown out at third, but he drove in a run. Like, it was a great movie.
Double scores 3?
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, but it's definitely an RBI double. Unfortunately, wasn't quite a 4.5. Got thrown out at third, but a great movie. I thought it was awesome. I was a big fan of it. And the best depiction, I mean, the Civil War depiction of Spider-Man is awesome. It's not the whole movie by any stretch of the imagination.
The Civil War depiction?
Well, Spider-Man's in Captain America Civil War, right?
Oh, right, yes.
You know, and that was awesome. I thought that he was awesome in Civil War. I thought it was a great, great, great movie. I was a big fan of it. But yeah, didn't quite stick the line, all that stuff. But I was really impressed with it for sure. And I would say for me, far and away, best cinematic live action depiction of Spider-Man I've ever seen, having not seen the Dr. Octopus Spider-Man yet. But yeah. But I could see, the argument, like, I liked all the Avengers stuff, but I could see that. Yeah, you wanted a Spider-Man movie, and there was.
That's kind of my web shooters, like
that's your sticking point. You're like, I want fucking web shooter machines, not fucking coming out of his body.
And he had that,
and he did in great forms of that. And for me, like I would say that I liked the Iron Man connections because it makes his ability that much more realistic. And maybe we don't need to tie Spider-Man into Iron Man, but Tony Stark built his suit, so right away that makes Spider-Man that much more of a threat, that much more capable of all this stuff. For me, billionaire Tony Stark overseeing Spider-Man is like, okay, like this makes that much more sense. And if he's doing crazy superhuman shit, it's like, well, Tony Stark built his suit. The Iron Man guy built his suit.
Yeah.
So, okay, that totally makes sense. The cool thing about that movie, though, is a lot of that stuff... is, while there is so much Avengers involvement, a lot of that is straight Spider-Man. Because he loses the suit.
Yeah.
You know, and we all want to see Spider-Man in the sweet suit that he wears. But, like, the fact that he's in his ghetto, shitty Spider-Man suit is kind of like, well, now you are getting
Spider-Man movie. The part that concerns me a little bit about this is, like... I want them to get to the Venom and Carnage stuff.
Yeah.
When Carnage, like, that stuff that comes in from outer space, and you're going to tell me that the Avengers don't fight Venom? Like, they're just going to leave Spider-Man?
Well, especially Carnage.
Here you go.
Carnage is a fucking serial killer.
Yeah.
Like, Eddie Brock is, like, kind of a scumbag. The guy who's Venom.
Yeah.
Who becomes Venom is kind of like a scumbag news reporter, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but... like, Carnage is a serial killer that gets infected with, like, the symbiote shit from outer space. Yeah, like, that's a fucking threat. Yeah. So at a certain point, like, an Avenger needs to say, like, whether I believe in the death penalty or not, like, we gotta kill this motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, so... And the thing...
And so that Venom story is super good, and now, like, I just can't see where that goes without all of a sudden...
Well, and maybe for better or worse, for me, worse for you, better, the Venom stuff is not connected. Like, the Marvel Cinema, the MCU Fox deal, or is it Fox? Is it Fox that does?
No,
Fox does X-Men, Sony does Spider-Man.
Yeah.
The Sony MCU deal is related to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider, Sony was fucking up Spider, at least in most people's opinion. You like the Andrew Garfield, all the power to you. You like those movies. In the basic feel was, we're fucking up Spider-Man, MCU, help us please.
Yes.
You'll know how to do this character right, you do it. That deal between the MCU and Sony is related to Spider-Man. And it apparently doesn't have anything to do with Venom.
Yeah, and Carnage. I've read that too.
So you might like that because now there's no tampering from the MCU.
Well, but I think they not, because it depends on who makes it. Because I don't see how...
I don't know that Venom... It sounds... According to Bob, he was talking to me about it, and they're doing a Venom movie. Tom Hardy's playing Venom.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. But I don't know if, when, or if at all Venom and Spider-Man are ever going to cross paths. Now, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because Venom is a Spider-Man villain. But I don't know if there will ever be any MCU involvement. That's maybe Bob just being, like, pessimistic as a defense mechanism.
Are you suggesting that when Venom finally comes around to meet Spider-Man, it's going to be Andrew Garfield and not...
Well, that's true. That's true. So they do have to use... But yeah, the kind of deal between Sony and MCU is we get... Sony gets an Avenger every time they make a Spider-Man movie. They get the money from that Spider-Man movie. In return, Spider-Man shows up in the MCU Avengers movies. I think it's just the Avengers movies, and MCU gets the money from those proceeds. Civil War,
which was a Captain America movie.
Well, okay, so maybe it's MCU gets to use Spider-Man. In return, Spider-Man, MCU makes the Spider-Man movies. They have to include an Avenger. Sony gets the money from those movies. I guess you should see Venom under the umbrella of an MCU-made Spider-Man movie in which Sony gets the proceeds from. I guess maybe... But then if they have to include an Avenger with that deal, you should see an Avenger fighting Venom, hopefully down the line, Carnage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe Bob is just being... We had this talk, unfortunately not on air, but we were talking about Spider-Man Homecoming. He came to the movie with Colin and I, and he was kind of talking about this Venom deal and how they might never cross paths and you'll never
I read the article that he's talking about too. It was just a bunch of like fucking fear mongering, because I just can't imagine a world where Sony's like, you know what, we needed help with Spider-Man, but we've got this fucking Venom
thing on our own. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Unless Venom's going to be an R-rated...
Venom
is a Spider-Man villain, so he's got to show up with Spider-Man at some point.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, right? So, like, there's... I don't think Sony... I don't know the inner workings of the deal, but it's effectively saying that Sony feels like they can make more money with Marvel's input into the storyline.
Yeah, for sure.
And so Marvel probably just takes a cut of the... A small cut of the movie.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if they get a small cut or if they just will see an uptake on their movie when they include Spider-Man in it.
Yeah.
Or if there is a cut. Last I heard, Sony gets all that money, none of that. But doing Spider-Man well, you know, if you're thinking about, you know, the long-term gain, making good Spider-Man movies will make more money when Spider-Man shows up in Avengers movies.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, I originally thought that they got a cut out of that, you know, so when you're hearing about Spider-Man Homecoming doing X amount of dollars, you're like, well, great, but they only get so much of that money because some of that's got to go to Marvel. I don't know if that's the case. I think Sony might get everything, but then maybe MCU gets its return when...
There's got to be some sort of exchange back, because there's just the amount, like, writing a movie for them.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just...
Well, maybe Sony pays the filmmakers of said movie.
Fine.
Which goes a long way, right?
A cut, nonetheless.
People are getting jobs, and that's a cut. Yeah, the production budget. Yes. You know, the $175 million production budget of the Sony Spider-Man Homecoming is being paid by Sony to Marvel. filmmakers. So that's true. Yeah, Sony is paying for Marvel's labor. No, Sony is getting the return from Marvel's labor. But yeah, interesting stuff. Time to bring it on home?
I think so, yeah.
All right. All right. Well, any words of wisdom to impart?
No.
All right. Neat. Well, I may have a few words of wisdom to impart. It's been a while since I've done this. I got to vamp and stall because I was not prepared as much as I need to be prepared. It will stall for me while I'm doing my little shtick.
I was going to ask about I can't even. There you go.
Okay. Well, what were you going to say?
No, we're good.
All right. So a little few words of wisdom.
Yeah.
All right. No, I'm not ready for big bad step in the direction. No, I'm not ready for downtown trash before collection. For blocks, run and hide. Don't walk around at night. Cityscape, city change before they die. For blocks, such a mention in a song. If I want to get along to change, who doesn't want to change this? I know you feel it too. These words get overused. When we get up and over it and over them. Up and over it and over them.
Oh, I'm not doing this.
I know you feel it too. It all seems so untrue. When you get up and over it and over them. No. No, we're not ready for fair distribution. Just determine the solution for no, we're not ready for hell. Hell no. For hell. Hell no. For days wide awake, wide slide along and say, goes afraid, go to change, just move away. For days that I mention, in a song, move along.
This is so.
Get along. Oh, shit, I lost my spot.
You could just end it now.
I probably could. I mean, it'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, this could go on forever.
It'd be funny if I read out the whole... Okay, thanks for listening. Twitter, Facebook. Oh, we don't have Facebook.
Internet stuff.
gmcpod.podbean.com. Just listen to the podcast. I don't know. One day it might be good.